બદલ પણ આઝાદ ભારત થયુંને ભૂલ થઈ કે દિલ્હી એટલે કોંગ્રેસના આલા કમાને આદરણીય ખડગેજીને અહીંયા મોકલ્યા. કોંગ્રેસ પાર્ટીના નવા પ્રમુખ છે એમને મોકલ્યા. અને ખેડગેજીને હું ઓળખું છું, એમનો ખૂબ આદર કરું છું, હું એમનું સન્માન કરું છું. પણ ખડગેજીને તો એ જ બોલવું પડે જે એમને ત્યાંથી ભણાવીને મોકલ્યા હોય. હવે તમે મને કહો, રામ ભક્તોના ધરતી પર રામ ભક્તોની સામે એમના પાસે બોલાવડાવવામાં આવ્યું કે તમે મોદીને 100 માથાવાળો રાવણ કહો. તમે જેટલો કીચડ ઉછાળશો એટલું જ કમળ વધારે ખીલવાનું છે.
મોદીજી તો હર વક્ત આકર યહી કહેતે હૈ કે મુજે દેખ કે વોટ દો, મોદી કો વોટ દો. તો લોગ તો મોદી કો હી વોટ દે રહે 27-28 સાલ સે, ફિર ભી અત્યાચાર ક્યું કમ નહીં હો રહે, ઇસકી વજહ ક્યા હૈ? ક્યોંકિ વો યે નહીં ચાહતે કે તીન દલિત આદિવાસી ઇનકે સમસ્યા હલ હો જાય.
પક્કી ગારંટી હૈ, ગુજરાત મે એક માસ કે બાદ આપકા બિજલી કા બિલ ઝીરો આયા કરેગા. જિસ જિસ કો ઝીરો બિજલી કા બિલ ચાહિયે, સારે જને ઝાડુ પે બટન દબા દેના, ચાહિયે કે નહીં ચાહિયે? ઓર સારે સર્વે મે અબ આ રહા હૈ, આમ આદમી પાર્ટી કી સરકાર બન રહી હૈ, બીજેપી જાય છે, આમ આદમી પાર્ટી આવે છે.
Good evening. A huge day in Gujarat today, which went to polls in the first phase of voting. Voting took place in 89 of Gujarat's 182 assembly seats, with the BJP hoping to consolidate its position in a state that it's ruled for 27 years. There were mega road shows today. Arvind Kejriwal, who believes his Aam Aadmi Party has every chance of defeating the BJP on its home turf. And then there was the Prime Minister's road show, said to be the longest by any leader, starting in Gandhinagar South, making its way through 16 seats over 3.5 hours.
Thanks very much, Vishnu. Yes, the Prime Minister's roadshow is still on. We'll be going live across to that in a little while. The provisional voter turnout is also here. It was 60.2% for this phase, which is about 7% lower than the 2017 assembly election. But it always happens that that number goes up. Now, over the next 60 minutes, we're going to analyze what's at stake in Gujarat, why this is such a prestige contest. Remember, if the AAP does well, it will emerge as a key challenger to the BJP nationally, possibly. The Congress has had a very low-key campaign. Some say it's hardly campaigned or not campaigned at all. What does that bode for the party? And in the middle of this, Rahul Gandhi's Bharat Jodo Yatra, how will it be impacted by the Congress's performance, whichever way this goes? But first, joining us on the program tonight is Aam Aadmi Party Member of Parliament in Gujarat in charge, Raghav Chadha. Raghav Chadha, thanks very much for joining us. How was the day?
Well, the day was very well for us. It has been, we've had a lot of excitement and huge numbers flocking to our polling station and booths and tables that we had set outside the polling centers. Number two, the AAP actually put up more polling tables and booths than the BJP. And number three, our assessment, Nidhi, is that the traditional BJP voter who usually steps out in huge numbers to vote for the BJP, this time, due to disenchantment and absence of hope in BJP's campaign, did not turn out in huge numbers. The maximum vote, the maximum people who stepped out to vote were essentially a vote for change, a vote for Parivartan. And one thing that I, as somebody who's been campaigning for the party in the state, have noticed, and all my party colleagues, including our leader, Mr. Kejriwal, have noticed across, not just in Saurashtra and South Gujarat, which are considered to be strongholds of AAP, but even in North and Central Gujarat, is a palpable desire, a sense for Parivartan and change.
Sure. But Raghav, that
people
change,
are yearning for change.
That change, as far as the Aam Aadmi Party is concerned, would mean the Congress doing disastrously. And the projection, of course, is that you do much better than them. That being the case, are you counting on taking away a large chunk of the base of the Congress in the state?
Two things. In our assessment, for every 10 voters that are voting for the Aam Aadmi Party, 6 are old-time BJP voters, roughly 3 are previous Congress voters, and 1 is an undecided voter or a fence sitter. Okay. This is largely the complexion and a combination. So therefore, for any person to allege that we are only eating into the Congress's vote share is entirely incorrect. What is the accurate assessment is that a lot of people who believe in Arvind Kejriwal's model of economic upliftment that gives you a life of basic dignity with electricity, access to quality healthcare, access to education, so on and so forth, are voting for the Aam Aadmi Party. As far as your larger question on the performance of Congress is concerned, let me tell you that the Congress, quite frankly, has essentially withdrawn from the Gujarat election, barring 4-5 seats where Congress is in a contest merely because they have a strong leader that has been practicing electoral politics, has been doing grassroots politics for decades. There is no other area in Gujarat, no other district or no other pocket in Gujarat where Congress is, quite frankly, actually even in a contest. And therefore, it essentially brings us down to a proposition that perhaps Congress today has turned into an NGO. It has withdrawn from the business of fighting elections.
Okay.
It only does social work from time to time and carries out long padyatras.
We'll ask the Congress about that because, I mean, you're right, there is some criticism of the fact that the Bharat Jodo Yatra is being pitched not to win elections, and that's a separate story. But on the Aam Aadmi Party itself, Raghav Chadha, many of those who, are reporting from Gujarat also believe that maybe the AAP is, sort of, over-ambitious at this point, that there's a clear favorite in Gujarat. It's very hard to beat Mr. Modi on his own home turf. So in a sense, is it now the fight for who comes second? Would you agree with that? Is it just a fight for the runners-up position?
2002 election in Gujarat, 2007 election, 2012 and 2017 election. These elections may have been fought on the Modi factor. But the 2022 Gujarat election is being fought on the Kejriwal factor. And take it from me that AAP is going to trump the BJP in the upcoming polls. In these polls, the phase one as well as the phase two. Number two, there is, as I've said, if it was so convenient for the BJP and if it is the BJP's home turf and BJP is all set to win and they're, absolutely not perturbed with what the AAP is, the kind of ground that AAP is gaining in the state of Gujarat, why would the Prime Minister require to sweat it out for 5 to 6 hours and carry out a long 50-kilometer road
in every state? He does that in every state.
Well, he campaigns in every state.
He is the face of the BJP. But Raghav, let me ask you this.
He doesn't carry out 50-kilometer long road shows.
He did a massive road show, I remember, on the eve of the last UP election as well. In 2017 also, I remember, there were 3 days of massive road shows by the Prime Minister there. And everyone thought that must be because the BJP is on the back foot. Actually, they did phenomenally well.
And they're calling this the largest, Raghav. They're saying that 3.5 hours, it's still going on, apparently. They pitched it as being the largest. I mean, that's an election ploy.
Well, Vishnu, if the BJP is so scared of the Aam Aadmi Party in the state of Gujarat that they refuse to show up on panel discussions where there is an AAP representative in any channel, whether it's a national channel or Gujarat channel, they attack only the Aam Aadmi Party. They take down hoardings of only the Aam Aadmi Party. They abuse only Arvind Kejriwal. They physically assault only our leaders. They have, quite frankly, got into an understanding with the Congress, but they attack only the AAP because they see AAP not just as a long-term threat, but also as a potential short-term immediate threat in the state of Gujarat. And I say this because in a very small span of 8 months, I mean, if you were to rewind back to March, that is when we started our campaign in Gujarat. In a short span of 8 months, we have built a huge momentum. We have put up a spirited campaign. We have built a robust organization down to every village, which can today compete and perhaps trump the BJP's own organization.
But Raghav, last question, just on that point about your campaign. Yes, it's been very robust and at least it's there. The Congress's campaign is not even there on the ground. But, you know, one of your weaknesses has been that you all didn't do very well in the panchayat elections. So there's a sense that you're not that strong in rural Gujarat. You did make a dent in places like Surat, for example, in the urban local body polls, which is why you've campaigned so aggressively in Surat, etc. Have you been able, in your view, to bridge that gap?
First of all, every election has a different flavor and every election is different. Let's come back to Delhi. In Delhi, the Lok Sabha goes to the BJP, the Vidhan Sabha overwhelmingly goes to Mr. Kejriwal and the Aam Aadmi Party with the highest ever mandate that independent India has ever seen. So every election is different. Number two, this is also a very puerile and an incorrect way of looking at things, that AAP is only a Shahri party or a party that is which has support only in cities and not in rural. Take it from me that this time AAP's performance in tribal areas, AAP's performance in hardcore rural areas is going to be far better than AAP's own performance in cities. I'm not saying cities is going to be bad
so
in any
line,
way.
Raghav,
but
I need to wrap
relatively,
this up. Yeah. Are you going to win this, be honest, or are you going to be a strong second?
He's going to say they'll win.
Aam Aadmi Party is winning this election.
Are you sure?
And I'm saying this. We are winning this election. We are trumping the BJP. The graph, Vishnu, of the BJP since March, BJP was at 48%. The graph of the BJP has been coming down like this. AAP was at 0% in March. Our graph has been going up like this. This is the trend, and we have surpass the BJP in vote share. This election is an overwhelming, overwhelming sense of...
When you win these elections, or even if you don't, either way, Raghav...
We'll replay this bite for you.
And
be careful what you wish for.
You may be proven to be correct as well. So let's see what happens, Nidhi.
All right,
this election, Vishnu, I can tell you, is going to change India's political landscape for sure. And Aam Aadmi Party, in my view, in our surveys... And that's the sense that I've got on the ground, not just as somebody who's the co-in-charge of the party in the state, but as a student of political science.
Sure.
We
sure.
are winning this hands down.
All right.
Just recorded that. We've recorded all of that.
Thanks very much. Well, let's go straight across to our panel. And let me first, ask the first question to Mr. Sanjay Kumar, professor at CSDS, a well-known sophologist. Sanjay Kumar, what are you picking up? We can't do exit polls. We can't do opinion polls. The election is still on. There's another phase on Monday. But I wanted to ask you that eternal question that fascinates me. How do you see the turnout today? It's almost 7% less than than the last assembly election. What does a lower turnout tell you necessarily?
Nidhi, I think without looking at the evidence, a theory has been built up, and this has been floating for the last many decades. A lower turnout is an indication of pro-incumbency and a higher turnout is an indication of anti-incumbency. I must tell you that I have analyzed the data over several decades. And I have looked at the assembly election results and the turnout of almost 400 assembly elections over last several decades. And the story comes out very, very clear that there is no straight relationship. Turnouts have gone down, governments have got re-elected, and governments have got voted out, and the vice versa. The point I'm trying to say is that let's not read too much on the lower turnout. First, you have already mentioned right at the beginning that there are chances of revision in the when we get the final figure, this will certainly go up. But I think still this turnout will be less than what we have seen in these localities which went to poll today compared to 2017. But I don't see this as an indication of pro-incumbency or anti-incumbency. If I would go by whatever I have been looking at, the mood of the people in the Gujarat earlier, even if it was a higher turnout or lower turnout, I'm not going to interpret these in terms of how people have voted. I think, in my opinion, you were asking this question to Raghav, that whether the fight is for the number two and number three position. In my opinion, it is really a fight for number two and number three position between Aam Aadmi Party and Congress. And in my opinion, BJP is ahead, far, far ahead in the electoral race.
PKD Nambiar, if you look at, on the one hand, you've got the BJP, which has been in the state for 27 odd years, and there is a call for change. There is the incumbency factor, whether you like it or not. And what Kejriwal promises is something which has worked in Delhi. I mean, 300 units of free electricity, a pension scheme for old people, improving education, health. It's worked in Punjab as well. Why won't it be decisively attractive for voters in Gujarat?
Well, this is one of the biggest mistakes what we make often. The mistake is that we compare every state in India is very different and the different thought process. Look at from the point of view of Gujarat, 27 years one government is in power. When we question the how come a party is coming and how the party will not come back again, we are questioning the electorate of the Gujarat. That is one point. Second part is that Gujarat is one of the most developed states in the country, and it is a role model for the development for the every state, rest of all the states. If you recall, about 15 years back, when the vibrant Gujarat as a development model came in, every state, including Mamata today, or even the Nitish Kumar, is doing an economic summit and investor summit. Where is this have come up? It has all derived out of the Gujarat. So there is a Gujarat model of development. I often ask the people in Delhi, for an example, we are sitting here, in any of us, have you ever find a single person working as a labor in any of the construction site, a Gujarati working in Delhi or in any other city?
Let's talk a little bit about the Gujarat model of development. It is true, just in the run up to these elections, a massive project generating thousands for transport aircraft for the Indian Air Force, a semiconductor plant. These were all the defense expo, all in Gujarat. So the Gujarat model, you know, bring in investors into the state versus what the Aam Aadmi is doing, which is basically looking at the Mualla, something which they're experts at. How do you weigh these two options for voters?
You know, I think, Vishnu, it comes from also this vibrant Gujarat that PKD Nambiar is talking about. When you had people, foreign dignitaries who came, were actually from, with great respect, I say, from smaller countries who could not really bring too much. But the perception that was created was that lakhs of crores are coming in, which actually didn't happen. But the idea that you could, you know, you could bring in money from outside and industrialize, that was key and was core. The Prime Minister will not quote me, will not mind my quoting him when he said at a small gathering that he was told that the Japanese want a golf course outside Ahmedabad, etc. And they're going to, you know, it's going to spoil a lot of, or it's going to take a lot of land. And he said, well, I said to them, if they want to dig a few holes and we get so much money, where's the problem? So I think that is what is at the core. But I must say that this touted Gujarat model of development is actually the Prime Minister's office model of development. Mr. Kailashanathan, who is the trusted civil servant of the Prime Minister, has now got seven extensions. He retired in 2013,
the IAS
officer.
Actually, half this government has got extensions, if you look at...
But what I'm saying, Nidhi, is that actually...
I mean, many departments.
That the Gujarat model of development is actually the governance from the PMO. So, and it's working well. You're saying that
contrasts starkly with what the Aam Aadmi Party...
I think, though, politically the issue here, Anshul Avijit, is, we've seen a very vibrant campaign by the BJP, a very vibrant campaign by the AAP. And in contrast, the Congress is invisible, literally invisible in Gujarat. Rahul Gandhi came for one day. Has the Congress, in a way, given up the fight even before the election?
Absolutely not. This is a focused, concentrated campaign. I mean, there's an echo I can hear.
We'll try and fix that.
It's a focused, intense campaign, which is a localized campaign, which is a micro strategy. I mean, this kind of campaign working on the ground, it may not have reached the rarefied atmospheres of the media houses and other places, but it's right there on the ground. In fact, every constituency has its own kind of manifesto where we've taken up local issues. The Gujarat model of development, you know, coming to that, you know, is an absolutely fraudulent and subversive model. It's, first of all, not an economic model. It is a political model that on one hand relies on polarization and highly emotive issues to get across elections. You know, and polarization is of all forms. We've seen it in the Bilkis Bano case. We've seen it in the Kheda flogging. We've seen it in the demolitions that have taken place, in the relatives that have given tickets of the convicts accused. And what have you, I can just go simply on and on. And on the other hand, on the economic model, it relies on a compromise between big businesses and between politicians of the BJP, which have resulted in tragedies like Morbi. It's come out in that way. Multidimensional poverty.
All right, so you have problems, Anshul, with the Gujarat model of development. But I think I wanted to ask you this. What about the language which has been used in this entire election campaign? On the one hand, you've been critical about references made by the BJP and the Prime Minister and Amit Shah on 2002, and yet this entire comparison, Ravan being used and to describe, in a sense, the Prime Minister. The Congress has hurt itself very much in the past with language. It has worked to your disadvantage, because the BJP has the ability of spinning it around to their advantage. Do you believe those remarks made by Mr. Kharge were wrong? He shouldn't have made them?
No, but the Prime Minister has never been averse to invoking mythology to characterize opponents. I mean, he did it in the Rajya Sabha. I mean, it was reminded by Renuka Chaudhary-ji in that mocking kind of way in which he used. I mean, all nature of BJP spokespersons and leaders have used all kinds of personal remarks. And a bearded comment came from no less the Chief Minister of Assam. Time and again, these kind of sort of mocking, undermining, demeaning.
So you believe the Congress should do that as well?
No, we are not. See, that context is completely different. It was the fact that the Prime Minister time and again has been appearing on every kind of election strategy, forsaking governance. The point was that in its obsession with electoral politics, in all nature of electoral politics,
right,
it has forsaken governance. And that is the problem. That's why the country is in shambles.
Well, there's a larger commentary about the state of our electoral politics, where, you know, everyone who's against the BJP, you know, we invoke Pakistan, and former prime ministers are labeled traitors, and all kinds of things have happened in the course of election campaigns in the last few years. But Aarti Jayarath, what is interesting about the BJP's campaign is that there is a lot of anger against local MLAs in Gujarat. Mm-hmm. After all, 27 years is a very long time. But the one thing that overrides everything is Modi.
Absolutely.
And that is clearly the trump card for the BJP, which is why he has made this election about a vote for himself. He's telling people, you're not voting for anyone else, you're voting for me.
As he did last five years ago as well. You know, this is Modi's home turf. It's his home state. And so naturally, it has to be about him. And I think he is aware, he is aware that there is, I think, a lot of disillusionment and a lot of the last 5 years have been hard in Gujarat. COVID was a bad time. Gujarat went through a very bad time, showed the state of the health infrastructure. The chief minister was changed because of, you know, the way he had handled COVID and, you know, other things. The Morbi, tragedy happened. So I think that there is a lot of disillusionment. But, you know, at the end of the day, Nidhi, I think for Gujaratis, what is the option? I mean, the Congress is barely visible. AAP has tried to conduct this very high-octane campaign. But it's a new party, you know, with hardly any kind of organization on the ground. So, you know, the BJP is the system. And like the left was in Bengal for 34 years, I think the BJP, and as long as Mr. Modi remains the leader of the BJP, I think the, you know, Gujarat will go with the BJP because there is nobody else on the horizon.
Now, did he seek Teflon? Yeah. Is Mr. Modi wearing a coat of Teflon, as they say?
In Gujarat, there is no Teflon. I think that Gujarat for Mr. Modi is everything is. I don't want to say khadi, but let me say it's silk or something. But let me just go back. Since we were talking about the name calling, you know, for me, the irony is that in the land of the most famous Gujarati ever, Mahatma Gandhi, we should be worrying about whether somebody called somebody Srupnakha or called somebody Ravan or Jersey cow or whatever else. I don't have that vocabulary. Because look at Gandhiji. He was called everything. And he was, his most famous moniker was Fakir. Now, I'm saying that our elections are being fought on this, and our voters are actually getting...
It's been a while that they've been fought on this.
But,
I mean, from Mothka Saudagar on to comments Vishnu, it has a spin. It appeals.
But, you know,
and it gets votes.
Let us at least record that it is tragic that we should be saying that this is the discourse which actually, where the spin can be called. Not that there will be more employment, etc., but just that you called me so-and-so. I would just like to say that the most interesting thing, Nidhi was mentioning this, you know, you're talking about the Congress, which is invisible. And I think, as just somebody who looks at politics, or elections, that if this time the Congress's door-to-door campaign gets it anything, that is something to pause. If the Aam Aadmi Party's campaign of being in the digital domain and massive blitz publicity, media publicity, if it gets it, the seats it, you know, maybe, right. Then what'll really happen is it's that this whole business of rallies, tallest, highest, deepest, largest, fattest, thinnest, whatever, that all this will have to then be reconsidered. Sure. If a door-to-door campaign works, if a digital domain works,
I think the BJP style has been for, you know, big and bigger, and that's always been the case. But Sanjay Kumar, I just wanted to ask you, just in terms of what you're picking up on the impact of the Aam Aadmi Party in Gujarat this time. Last time, they had put a number of candidates in the fray. They lost their security deposits. In your view, are they doing better this time? Is a lot of their campaign pure hype? And are they hurting only the Congress or parts of the BJP also in certain urban pockets?
First thing, yes, they are certainly doing much better compared to 2017. I would say we should not even compare with 2017 because they are doing much, much better this time. But what is this much better? Because we have to put a number to that. What does this better mean? Better doesn't mean that they're winning election. Better also doesn't mean, in my opinion, that they're winning 20, 30 seats. But I think better, in my opinion, means they are in a range of getting, say, 18 to 20% vote. And in my opinion, this should be considered as a very good performance in a state which is BJP's bastion. So, you know, cornering 16, 18% vote in a state where BJP has been ruling for last 27 years, that, in my opinion, should be considered as a moral victory for Aam Aadmi Party, and that should be considered as a moral defeat for BJP. But that's my interpretation of if Aam Aadmi Party manages to get that many votes. But these votes are not getting converted into large number of seats. Aam Aadmi Party would be able to win, you know, few seats here and there. But my own sense is that that's going to be in single digit, maybe 4 or 5 seats here and there. That would be the victory of these candidates, important candidates of Aam Aadmi Party in different constituencies.
But now, Sanjay Kumar, then how do you see the Congress's, you know, what Anshul Avijit is calling a micro campaign, a quiet campaign? Now, I mean, is it that, or is it that there is a lack of leadership on the ground? The Congress cadre is demoralized. Look, in the last assembly election, they were able to keep the BJP at 99. They were at 77. There were so many seats where the margins were, what, less than 1,000. So the Congress actually did a lot better than many expected in the last assembly poll. But what has changed between then and now? It's a very different Congress, isn't it?
Now, Nidhi, you have already mentioned leadership crisis, the demoralized party workers. But I would put one name to that. You know, the perception. Perception plays an important role in election. And the perception in Gujarat is Congress jeet nahi rahi hai chunav. Congress is not in the fray. When I was visiting Gujarat, when we were doing our own survey, this is what was this was coming out as the biggest story about Congress. Congress chunav hi nahi lad rahi hai. Congress is not in a position to defeat BJP. And this one statement has all these elements put together. Leadership failure, leadership crisis, you know, Congress workers are not on the ground, leaders are not campaigning. So I think there is a lot of issues with regard to Congress when we look at how Congress has contested 2022 elections.
Okay. Aarti, is the BJP, I mean, they do face a considerable fight from the Aam Aadmi Party, but is the BJP's task somewhat easier because a couple of the issues which they faced in the past are not issues right now. The Patidar agitation is not quite the issue right now. There's been no protests in the traders, in the trading community or among farmers, and several Congress leaders have defected to the BJP.
Absolutely. And so, the two big faces of the Congress campaign from 2017, Hardik Patel and Alpesh Thakur, both of them are with the BJP today. And Jignesh Mevani, who was the third pillar of the Congress campaign, he's been kind of, scuppered, really, because, well, I mean, they, you know, filed cases against him. They arrested him. He was sent off to Assam, put in jail there, and so on and so forth. So, you know, to some extent, they took the wind out of his sails. So, you know, the Congress has been left really with nobody to, you know, spearhead their campaign. And, you know, what is really sad in Gujarat is that I think that there are real issues that worry voters. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the Morbi bridge tragedy is just an example of, you know, what is wrong in Gujarat. the Gujarat model of development is a real paradox, because on the one hand, you have this highly industrialized state whose GDP is amongst the highest in, you know, the country. But on development indices, it's below the national average, whether it's infant mortality, school dropout rate, female infanticide and so on. So, you know, I mean, it's a real paradox. So I think that there are real issues, but everything gets subsumed by this Modi wave.
If what Sanjay Kumar says is right, and the AAP does secure an 18 to 20% vote share, even if it doesn't translate into a large number of seats, would you believe the BJP would continue to take them seriously? They obviously are, which explains why a lot of things are happening with the AAP lately. But, you know,
18-20% vote, I think, quite an achievement. That's very, really huge. I don't know. Maybe I respect Sanjayji very much as a sophologist, but I think some of the sophologists, many of them, need to get back from the last three decades of politics is not there anymore in India, Nidhi. One, it's a smartphone user is the voter today. His thought process of voters voting, like if you really look at it today, the urban votes, of course, traditionally in India, rural the rural side will always vote more percentage and the urban side less. But what does that mean? The meaning of that is that the rural voters of today is also a smart voter. They will not just go only just on a freebie. This thing. I have traveled all across Gujarat for 13 days. One thing I have realized that even the youngest voter, who is the first time voter, they may not have that the typical fanboy picture of Narendra Modi. They may not have it. But then they do not have any thing against Narendra Modi or for that matter against the BJP. So I think the unemployment ratio which the Aam Aadmi Party is talking about, it is the least in the country. How can you go with that narrative what worked maybe in a city state like Delhi? And the Punjab was altogether a different game. Well, I think only in NDTV, let me be very openly, and we give too much of an importance to Aam Aadmi Party. Nowhere else I have seen, even in any other media houses, gives that kind of an importance. And most importantly, Vishnu, the national media, that is selected national media, gives more importance to Aam Aadmi Party, and they are making a huge...
Let me very respectfully say, let's not forget they have won the national capital comprehensively.
Absolutely.
And they won Punjab.
They got Punjab as well, but in the Punjab they were an opposition party.
Let's be fair, that it's not about NDTV or any other media house. It has to be reported fairly. But the BJP is taking them seriously.
Nidhi, regional media hardly gives them any space, and that is the truth.
Well, we know the state of the media.
Isn't that the real issue?
I would still say Congress is the main opposition party in Gujarat. Maybe Aam Aadmi Party may fill the space
even,
of
it's interesting Congress because even BJP leaders on the ground don't want to acknowledge AAP in the election campaign. They keep saying that the Congress is the real threat.
It's so amazing that the Congress trains its guns on Aam Aadmi Party as well.
It's lovely. We have to leave it at that. We have to take a break. Ads are a good thing. Ads are a good thing. Anshula, please do come again, because we have another round on Monday, and then we have exit polls, and then of course we have the real results on the 8th. Thank you so much to everyone for joining us. When we come back, we go across to our colleague Ankit Tyagi, who's been covering the Prime Minister's big roadshow in Ahmedabad. More on that after the break. Well, the Prime Minister has been doing a roadshow in Ahmedabad, 50 kilometers, 16 assembly constituencies that started earlier this evening. My colleague Ankit Tyagi is there and sent us this report.
Is Prime Minister Narendra Modi, his roadshow passing from the Subhash Chowk area of Ahmedabad. I can still see the Prime Minister's, I think, jeep has also stopped a bit. He's waving to the people and making sure that he gives them the attention, ahead of the election season. The campaigning for the second phase is on, and this roadshow is going on, a long roadshow, about 38 kilometers. This is the fourth last stop in Prime Minister's roadshow, more than 3 hours, and quite a big messaging that is being done here ahead of the second phase of the elections. Still, I can see the Prime Minister, in fact, going all across this entire area. But when we talk about the politics of, in fact, Narendra Modi and how important imagery is to that politics, Narendra Modi, the son of the soil, making his connect felt with the people of Gujarat, with the people of Ahmedabad, 23 seats of Ahmedabad, and the BJP has a very strong urban presence here. In the 2017 election, the Bharatiya Janata Party won all the 23 seats in Ahmedabad, and they are hoping to repeat this feat after 27 years of incumbency, out of which 12 years were of Prime Minister Narendra Modi himself. The BJP still using his face. All right. So what he has done is, this is a roundabout. So the Prime Minister is taking two rounds of this. And this is the frenzy that he whips up. Modi, Modi chants you will hear. You will hear a lot of people waving the flags, wearing the mask. And this is to ensure that people are reminded of, before they go to vote, of Narendra Modi and his connect, not of the issues that they are facing, not of the governance. Most people, you'll talk to them, possibly would not be able to tell you much about Bhupendra Patel, the chief minister, who recently, just 6 months back, got the reins of Gujarat. The entire cabinet of Gujarat was sacked to try and cull the anti-incumbency. But for the BJP, this is very important, because they know that the Prime Minister has a connect with the people. And I'll give you an example. We are here and the traffic is has been stopped, but you won't find many people complaining. They're just sitting there outside their cars, and the whole atmosphere is being made to feel like a festival. Let me try and get a few words. Sir, aap thumbs up kar rahe the. Kiske liye? Modi ji ke liye kar rahe the kya?
मोदी जी के लिए.
मोदी जी के लिए कर रहे थे. तो क्यों मोदी जी? यहाँ पे सीएम तो बनेंगे नहीं. वो
सीएम नहीं बनेंगे. उनका वट इतना है, वो पॉपुलर आदमी है.
पॉपुलर है तो बीजेपी कुछ भी करे फर्क नहीं पड़ता, मोदी जी के नाम पे.
मोदी के जय नाम के,
मोदी जी के नाम पे वोट है. सो दिस इज वॉट यू नो इज द ट्रम्प का दैट द बीजेपी इज प्लेइंग एट. दीज लेडीज ऑल्सो हियर. आप लोग ट्रैफिक में फंसे हैं या मोदी जी को देखने आए हैं?
मोदी जी को देखने आए हैं.
देख के जा रहे हैं. तो कैसा लगा पहले तो ये बताइए, मोदी जी आज एक ओपन गाड़ी में जाए?
बहुत अच्छा लगा, बहुत ही अच्छा लगा.
अच्छा लगा,
बहुत अच्छा लगा.
तो ये बताइए कि आज इश्यूज क्या है, मुद्दे क्या है चुनाव से पहले, या मोदी जी का चेहरा देख के सब भूल जाते हैं लोग?
नहीं नहीं, मोदी जी का चेहरा नहीं, कुछ काम हुए तो है.
अच्छा.
हाँ, विकास के काम हुए हैं, हम लोग उस पे हैं. ऐसा नहीं कि उनका चेहरा देखकर ही हम ये कर रहे हैं.
अच्छा.
विकास के द्वारा
उनके राज में जो काम हुए या अभी की सरकार में जो काम हुए?
ये उनके राज में भी हुए और अभी भी हो रहे हैं.
अच्छा, तो इस वजह से आप उनके साथ हैं?
हाँ जी.
आपको, आप उनके साथ हैं? आप यंग वोटर हो.
Yes.
आप पहली बार वोट डालोगे इस बार?
नहीं, सेकंड टाइम.
सेकंड टाइम डालोगे?
Yes.
तो आपको क्या लगता है यूथ का क्या इश्यूज है, क्या मुद्दे पे वोट डालेगा यूथ? नहीं, बस मोदी जी को देखने आए थे. सो लॉट ऑफ पीपल हियर एंड यू नो, सॉरी,
वी वांट मोदी,
बट ही इज ऑलरेडी देयर, ही इज द प्राइम मिनिस्टर
फॉरएवर. फॉरएवर.
मैं एमडी हूं, मारुति नंदन का एमडी हूं.
अच्छा. अभी
सर, सॉरी, एनडीटीवी की बहुत मेहरबानी, आप लोग ने बहुत मेहनत किया. मारुति नंदन जो रेस्टोरेंट दिखते हैं.
सर, आप अपने प्रचार में लग गए, मोदी जी चुनाव प्रचार में लगे, आप अपने प्रचार में लग गए, तो इतना सारा प्रचार कैसे एक बार चलाएंगे? तो चलिए मैं और लोगों से थोड़ी कुछ बात कर लेता हूँ. सो यू नो, दैट्स द कनेक्ट दैट द बीजेपी इज ट्राइंग टू एक्सप्लॉइट इन दिस इलेक्शन. ऑल दीज पीपल, दोज हू आर हियर, क्या देख कर आए?
मोदी भाई.
मोदी भाई.
हाँ.
कैसा लगा?
अच्छा लगा.
अच्छा लगा.
गरीबों की गरीब के लिए सहायता करो.
गरीब के लिए सहायता मोदी करते हैं क्या?
अभी उनकी मर्जी.
अभी उनकी मर्जी.
हाँ.
तो आप वोट डालते हो?
वोट डालते हैं.
कब जाओगे? अभी 5 तारीख को.
5 तारीख को जाएगा.
तो क्या वोट डाल के, किस क्या सोच के वोट डालोगे?
हम किसके अभी विचार करेंगे. फिर
अभी विचार करोगे किसको वोट डालना है?
हाँ.
अच्छा, अभी सोचा नहीं है.
राजस्थान से आए मोदी जी को देखने.
आप राजस्थान से आए हो?
राजस्थान से आए.
क्यों?
उनका लाइव देखना
अच्छा लगता है। मोदी जी देश के प्रधानमंत्री शेर है वो। अच्छा हाँ, आने वाली सरकार मोदी होगी, मोदी जीतेगा।
चलिए, you know, you also understand that all of these people abhi aa raha hu are supporters of the BJP, so of course you'll get only one side of the picture here, but it also tells you the overarching sense and the feel that for the BJP nothing is more important than the Prime Minister's image and the kind of machinery that they have. They are able to in fact enhance it many times than any other political party. Just look at this entire campaigning, this kind of campaigning, this kind of roadshow preparation is unmatched by any political party, and that's how the BJP tries to win over the hearts and minds of, in fact, the voters. Not to say that people don't talk about certain work that they have done in Gujarat, but it is also not to say that there is no anti-incumbency or there hasn't been any problems as far as Gujarat is concerned. But are they enough? Are those issues pressing enough to, in fact, for the people to think of an alternative? And if they do think of an alternative, who is the alternative is the big question. Because it is not, as most people will tell you, not about the chief minister here. It is about Modi or people like him. कब से वेट कर रहे थे यहाँ पे?
हम 2 घंटे से वेट कर रहे हैं मोदी जी का।
मोदी जी
का?
अरे तुम्हारा तो वोट भी नहीं है तो तुम क्या देखने आए थे?
हम तो मोदी दादा को देखने आए।
मोदी के फैन हो बस? हाँ, किसने बोला मोदी के फैन? घर में बोलते हैं सब। घर में बोलते हैं सब
मोदी है तो मुमकिन है।
मोदी है तो मुमकिन है। सो ऑल दीज पीपल हेल्प द बीजेपी विप अप दैट काइंड ऑफ पावर ऑल अराउंड। Now compare it to the campaign of, let's say, a Congress, which is already doing a low-key campaign. They do not have, big leaders coming in and participating in the campaign in Gujarat. So if you contrast it with that, this looks like a formidable election machinery. And the only answer, at least, somewhere in the same language has been from the Aam Aadmi Party, where Arvind Kejriwal also did a big roadshow today. He was also trying to present a picture not only for phase one, which is going to polls, not for phase two, but also trying to project himself as the main challenger for the Prime Minister against Prime Minister Narendra Modi come 2024. For this child, it doesn't matter what this is. This is a mask for him. The child is going to play with it. But for their parents, this also symbolizes big imagery. They are going to take it back to their houses. ये सब कहाँ लेके जा रहे हैं आप?
बस अब घर पे लेके जाएंगे।
अच्छा, ये कौन कौन है इसमें, ये दिखाओ जरा। कौन कौन है इसमें?
भूपेंद्र साहब है।
नरेंद्र मोदी साहब,
भूपेंद्र साहब,
मुख्यमंत्री साहब, ये कौन है?
ये अपने सीआर पाटिल।
ओके, ये कौन है?
अमित शाह।
और ये
नायडू साहब,
नड्डा साहब।
नड्डा साहब,
अच्छा, तो सबसे बड़ा चेहरा मोदी जी का है?
मोदी जी का है सबसे बड़ा चेहरा।
हाँ, उन्हीं के चेहरे पे वोट देते हो क्या?
उन्हीं के चेहरे पे ही चलेगा गुजरात, आगे भी जीतेगा गुजरात।
चलो।
Well, as the first phase of polling was underway in Gujarat today, Rahul Gandhi's Bharat Jodo Yatra continued and Swara Bhaskar joined him on the Bharat Jodo Yatra today. She joins us now exclusively on NDTV. Swara, thanks very much for being with us. Firstly, what was that experience like? Why did you decide to join the Bharat Jodo Yatra?
Well, the experience was exhilarating. And it was really quite tremendous. I don't think I've experienced something like this at all. I mean, I cannot remember so much energy, so much collective energy, so much enthusiasm, which seems really organic amongst people, amongst crowds who are not only Congress workers, but also just common regular people. And just this kind of resolve. So it was really quite tremendous. I decided to join Bharat Jodo Yatra because I think that the message of the yatra really resonated with me. I think it's no secret to anyone that the last 8 years in India, the political culture has deteriorated in a way that is very, very evident to anyone who is willing to look at it objectively. I think that the way in which hate has been normalized, the way in which bullying has been normalized, and the way in which this idea that India belongs only to one particular set of people, one particular community, one particular, you know, people who belong to a certain ideology, and everyone else in some way is either a dissenter or an other or should go to Pakistan. So I think that the Bharat Jodo Yatra is a really pretty radical way to resist sure. this kind of hate by reminding us of the fraternity that is actually very, very central to our constitution. It's in the preamble of our constitution. I think that, you know, our constitution talks about liberty, equality, justice, and fraternity. All these four things are currently endangered in our politics and right. in the political culture and public culture in India. But so I think that in some sense, the Bharat Jodo Yatra is really fighting for these constitutional ideals. And I think that I also like the way in which they're foregrounding the issues of unemployment and inflation, which is really what we should be talking sure. about.
Swara, let me ask you this, Vishnu here. I mean, on the one hand, you've got this huge yatra with so many people participating. Rahul Gandhi over there, we just saw images of you with him. And yet you've got the Gujarat elections, the Prime Minister campaigning like crazy. The Congress seems to be absent in terms of their top leadership on a day like today. Is there a bit of a mismatch, you know, Bharat Jodo and all of what you spoke about, and the process of democracy is ultimately elections where they're missing party?
I mean, honestly, I don't know that I'm the right person to answer a question about Congress electoral strategy and how and why and where they choose to send their star campaigners. But I will say one thing, Vishnu, which is that, you know, I think that the idea that politics is only electoral politics is actually a bit limiting. And it's frankly what, you know, we're in a situation in India now where no law is too low as long as it wins elections. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything is forgiven if the election is won and politics is just limited to winning elections. But that's not all politics is. Politics is also about transformation of our country. Politics is about social transformation, about political transformation. So I think that the Bharat Jodo Yatra, and they were pretty clear in their messaging that this is not a campaign toward an election. I think they're like really trying to express it and think of it in a far more wholesome way, and also in a way that is, I think, a lot deeper than merely one or two
sure.
elections.
But Swara, tell me this. I mean, it's so many people participating in this, old people, young people, men, women, children. What did some of the people who were actually a part of it, I'm not talking about Congress leaders, I'm talking about the people you saw around you, what is it that they tried to find in the Bharat Jodo Yatra?
It's amazing. It is just, I don't know how to explain the kind of like positivity and enthusiasm that people have. So many people came up to Rahul Gandhi today as we were walking, and I walked for the whole day. I'm like, you can see I'm sitting in a car. I'm going to I'm going back now.
What did you talk to him about?
Well, I talked to him about like various things, but a lot of it about what's happening. He asks everyone who talks to him about what's happening with them, about their lives, about what's bothering them. So he spoke to me a little bit about that, and then a lot about just politics and ideas and a lot of what I'm saying to you right now, about how, you know, that there is a need for transformation, not just in terms of elections, but yes, of course, but also a much deeper transformation in terms of our imagination.
But Swara, just coming...
And I was really sorry, I was really struck by one thing, which is everyone came up to him and said something different. So like, you know, there were farmers who were coming and talking about garlic prices or the fact that fertilizer is not available in Madhya Pradesh, or there was a guest lecturer who was coming and speaking about the difficulty of guest lecturers in government colleges in Madhya Pradesh. There were women who were coming and talking about their own problems. There were little children, one little child gotten, and he was like, "Aap kahan rehte hain? And can I have your number?" And and a lot of young, I was very struck by the fact that there were so many young people, and so many of them, of course, came and said that he's an icon for them, and that proud of what you're doing.
What Vishnu also asked you earlier, you know, in terms of how this squares off with elections. Look, ultimately, the Congress is a political party, and it's not an NGO. So winning elections is important, and clearly, you know, you have a certain ideological view. Therefore, do you believe it's enough to have a Bharat Jodo Yatra, which may be good in intent and idea and so on, without actually focusing on winning elections, which is very integral to the survival of any political party?
Well, I know one thing for sure. Again, I'm not sure that this is a question that that is really one that I'm an expert on necessarily. But I will say one thing. You cannot win an election without changing how people think. The fact is that we are in this state. We have voted in a particular kind of majoritarian, authoritarian government twice. So in that sense, it's not like this present government was, you know, thrust on us. We chose it, and we, in the second time round, we chose it with an overwhelming mandate. So there's clearly a certain kind of political culture that has been normalized in India. There is a certain kind of thinking that the Indian voter has. So if you're not, I think that the challenge has to be in thought, and it has to also be ideological, and that transformation has to also be ideological and in thought. So, and I think that's what the Bharat Jodo Yatra is trying to do. And I think that if I remember correctly, Rahul Gandhi did go to Gujarat twice, I think.
For one day. Yeah, but for one day. Anyway, Swara, thanks very much for joining us and talking about that. You're, as blunt as and forthright as ever, as far as your views are concerned. That's very rare in the film industry these days. Thanks very much for being with us. Thank you.